Cool. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Jack, for helping us take our attention, turn it vertically to think about who Jesus is, to worship him together. And that's what we're here to do this morning. And we are in week two of this new sermon series that Dan Jordan, our elder chair, kicked off for us last week. Thank you, Dan. This is a series we're calling One Another, Living as the Community of God. And especially the New Testament is full of these commands for God's people to one another, you know, serve one another, love one another, encourage one another, rebuke one another, bear with one another, all these things. And Dan started us out last week with agree one another. So Dan, thank you for that. I got to listen to it later on and loved it. And I love this image. Carol, another home run. I come to Carol, I'm like, hey, here's what I'm thinking. And she's like, all right. And then she comes up with this beautiful, you know, every time we have a new series. So thank you for that. But I love this picture of the one another, where, you know, these two brothers walking down a path together. And if you're a parent of multiple kids, you're like, that's how it should be. Right? Right? Because, like, I mean, if you are a parent with multiple kids, you can probably relate to this. Or maybe you've been a coach or a manager or something like that. But when your kids love each other and enjoy each other's company and support each other, isn't it like one of the most beautiful things, you know? And at the same time, as a parent, like, so heartbreaking when it's the opposite, when they're fighting or there's meanness. It's so difficult. And now, like, my kids are all teenagers, and to see them, like, become friends. Sorry, guys, I didn't get your permission. But now they're teenagers, and they become friends, and they enjoy being with each other. It's just a delight when that happens. It's just an absolute delight. And this passage, One Another, God cares about how we relate. There's this psalm David starts out that says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And we have a God who feels the same way about us. Like, he just delights when his people live together in unity. He cares about our relationship with each other. And so we're doing just, like, I think 5 or 6 weeks on some of the One Another commands of Scripture. And There's just so many exhortations in especially the New Testament, about these commands of one anothering each other. And we need each other. Our relationship with each other is so important. You know, like, sometimes you need a shoulder to cry on, or you need a bear hug, or you need a swift kick in the pants. All of those things are really hard to self-administer, you know? And, like, there's something about needing each other to fulfill those. And our relationships to each other, like, matter tremendously to God. He really cares. In fact, when Jesus was asked about the greatest commandments, it's loving God, first of all, and then loving your neighbor. Loving your neighbor, including those in the family of faith. God cares about this. And remember, Jesus says, this is how the world will know you are my disciples. How? If you love one another. Not like if you're really good at shaming people in comment sections on social media or news websites or owning people or proving your point. It's loving one another. Like, that is the litmus test for the Christian is loving one another. This is how Jesus sets it up. And we have a history as God's people, as Christians, of not treating each other well. Do you know this? Human beings in general, there's some great moments of love and support and encouragement. There's also a lot of moments where we get it totally wrong throughout history and even in our world today. Christians, you know, as a faith community that started out with Jesus and his followers, grew, and they were severely persecuted. Later on, a few centuries later, when they got power, instead of being the persecuted ones, Christians started to become those who persecuted others. And oftentimes of other types of Christians, you know, that it could be really mean toward each other. Now, there's an estimated 45,000 Christian denominations around the world. So, whoa, and where we've divvied up the lines just a little bit, and there's a lot of anger amongst Christians about different types of beliefs that we have or different traditions or ways we worship, and it can be really discouraging. And I think, like, nowadays, like, social media has made that even, it's given us all a voice where, I mean, sometimes you can click on, like, a comment section on a news site that talks about Christians or it'd be a Christian post, and there can be some really cruel things that Christians tearing each other down. And I think it breaks the heart of God. And it also is very discouraging to me in my faith. And I think God knows we're fleshy. You know, God knows we are have a tendency towards sin. He knows that we can be mean. He knows that we can be hypocritical. I think he knows that the world is discouraging. And so he commands us repeatedly to encourage one another to live together in a world as a different type of people, to love each other. Our own sin, the brokenness of the world, it can lead to some hard hearts in us. And I think it's really easy for those things to start to foster. And this morning, the command we're looking at is one that's often repeated in the scriptures, is simply this: encourage one another. Encourage one another. Life is difficult enough, isn't it? And following Jesus is difficult enough as it is at times. Sometimes I think we have to be careful of how we present the gospel, that it's going to be this thing that's going to make your life easy and wonderful and great. And it is wonderful and great, but it's a challenge. And you need encouragement, you need other people, and it is difficult at times. And so dozens of times, especially in the New Testament letters, we are commanded to encourage one another. That's our command, to encourage one another. We need that. Here's what the author of Hebrews says. Here's just one of these passages that refers to this. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So the author of Hebrews is saying here, let's hold unswervingly our faith, to what we profess. And God is faithful. Journey together. Live together. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Help each other be better versions of ourselves as we live out our calling. Meet together. Let us encourage one another, especially as we see the day coming, you know, the end coming. And dozens of times, like we see the New Testament command us to encourage one another. The word encourage is pretty cool. It's a simple one to understand. It's to encourage, right? To give courage to someone else, to lend courage to somebody who needs it. And so when we encourage someone, we're giving them courage to face things. And so encouragement is strength in the face of great pain, grief, or danger. Courage is mental or moral strength to withstand something or to persevere through difficulty. And courage enables us to do something that we think we can't do on our own. You know what I mean? Like if you're encouraged or you have courage, you are able to see through something that you're not sure you'd be able to face down on your own. Have you ever done something that frightened you, but you were able to do it because someone lent you encouragement? Because people were around you, helped you get through a difficult season of life, or face something really challenging, or to make a difficult decision, or to do something hard, and you were able to do that because someone gave you courage in some way? Just a couple weeks ago, Eli and I, we talked years and years ago about wanting to go bungee jumping when he turns 18. And so we actually did this. He turned 18 in June, and so we went to this place down in southern Washington. They say it's the highest bridge you can bungee jump from in the United States. I mean, technically that's open year-round is what they say. But it's over 200 feet. And we talked a big talk about going and doing this, and it's going to be amazing. You know, we're going to look so cool. But we walked up to this bridge and looked over the edge, and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. It was really scary, okay? It was really scary. I was terrified. And you get up there, and it's like this rickety old thing, and they're like, oh, yeah, trust us. We know what we're doing. We're like, okay, you know. But they strap you up into this thing, and I'm thinking, there's no way I can do this. But because Eli was there, there's the peer pressure of being embarrassed in front of him, and as well as these other people that are like, they buckle you up, and here's Eli jumping. Watch this. This is just like a 12-second video. Watch.
As far as you can. 3, 2, 1. Bungee.
Yeah, Eli.
I showed Eli's video because he looks so cool when he does it. There's a video of mine too. I look like a flailing chicken, which is not far from the truth. But the thing is I remember thinking, this is going to be easy. No problem. I like cliff jumping. This will be easy. But standing out there, I was like, I don't want to do this. But in a sense, like positive peer pressure, and then also like the encouragement of them saying, you're jumping, you already paid, and Eli being there, like, we were able to go through this incredible, harrowing, scary, exhilarating experience. You should do it, by the way. But it's just a lot of fun. But I think that when we're talking about like encouraging one another, Christian faith is kind of the same, that we can enable one another to live a godly life in a life that is rooted in Jesus together. And we can do this because God himself, the scriptures tell us, is a God of encouragement. Paul says this in a couple of places. He says, "May the Lord Jesus Christ himself and the God of our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." It says in Romans, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had." That God himself is a God of encouragement who calls people to something and he gives them the courage to live a different and amazing life rooted in him. And we get to have that role with each other. I'm looking at this. I want to make one thing clear there. When we talk about Christian encouragement, we're not just talking about the kind of encouragement that just makes you feel good about yourself. You know, it's not just about making people feel, oh, good, I feel good about myself. I think that's an outcome of most of Christian encouragement, that comes from that, where you're going to feel lightened and lifted. But Christian encouragement is like it says here in 2 Thessalonians, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. That Christian encouragement, what it does is it enables us not just to feel good about ourselves, though that usually happens, but it's going to enable you and assist you and help you live the life God has called you to live a life of deeper discipleship to Jesus, a life of pursuing what God has called in your life and to be a different type of person rooted in Jesus. That's what the kind of encouragement we're talking is an encouragement toward that. And we're told over and over in the scriptures to encourage one another, that we have that job, that we are invested in one another's faith and relationship with Jesus. So how does that happen? Just four ways we're going to look at how encouragement takes place, how you can give encouragement, how you can receive encouragement. And the first is pretty obvious. And it's probably the one we think about most of the time, to encourage one another through words. Like, you ever received a word of encouragement that was good for you? Someone says something to you that lifts you, that lightens you. We should speak those kinds of words. And Paul says, encourage one another with these words. There he's talking about some things about the end coming and holding faith true to what God has called us. So like, words, though, are a way we encourage one another. Words are powerful. Isn't it interesting that God, who could do anything, what was his method of creation? He spoke it, right? Yeah, he spoke words and creation came into being. We proclaim the gospel with words. We tell the story of God with words. And oftentimes, like, one of the greatest encouragements we can have is just to remember the good news of the gospel, to preach the gospel to ourselves and to each other and remind us that we serve a God who has loved us and pursued us and enabled us to have peace with God and to live whole lives in the world. That's good news. We need to be reminded of that. Because words, they can do a lot. They can tear you down, and they can also build you up. And you probably in your life can have experiences of words that tear you down or words that build you up. When I was in sixth grade, my first year of middle school, on the first day of school, everyone was given a textbook, a hardbound textbook. It was checked out to you. It had a number written in it, and then you'd build, like, we'd always make like a brown paper bag book cover to protect it, you know, and you'd write your name on that book cover so you know whose yours was. One year in sixth grade, I brought my math book to class, and instead of bringing it back to my locker after class, I left it under my desk. It was there. And it said Mark Erickson, you know, in the top corner inside my homemade cover. And I thought, oh no, I don't have my book. But the next day, sure enough, I went back to the classroom, and underneath my desk still, I had made it, survived a whole day, was there. And I said, oh, there's my book. And I pulled it out, and I opened it up, and written on the inside cover in Sharpie, not on my cover, but on the actual page of the book, were the words, "I hate Mark Erickson." Jim laughs. It is funny now, yeah, I guess. But I read those words, and I didn't know who wrote them. Somebody picked up my book, saw my name on the front, and wrote, and I remember trying to be like, I was devastated by it, you know, as a sixth grader, like, middle school's hard, right? You know, but like, I remember reading those words, and like, I tried to cover it up with a whiteout, but it tore me down. for a long time, it was discouraging. And so especially negative, biting words, they can shred you quickly. Like, what is a sandcastle, right? Would you rather build a sandcastle or destroy a sandcastle? Build, destroy. There is something satisfying to destroying a sandcastle, isn't there? To play Godzilla and put your foot down on something. Like, some of you are like, no way. Well, some of us find something satisfying about destroying a sandcastle. It takes no time to destroy a sandcastle, right? It takes a long time to build a sandcastle. And people that can build something like this out of rock and water is pretty impressive. But I think our words are a lot like sandcastle building. Encouraging words can take a long time to build something that's beautiful and encouraging it and makes a positive difference in someone's life. And there are times in us, our sin comes out and our fleshiness, it can feel really good to put a foot down on a sandcastle. It can be satisfying for a moment, but it can destroy things. And so we want to use our words carefully. Carelessly uttered words like are dangerous. And so we want to be careful with how we use those. And so we should use our words regularly to not only remind people of the good news of the gospel, but to call out in each other's lives, like, here's how I see God at work in your life. Here's why I'm thankful for you. Here's what I'm seeing that God is doing that gives me hope and is beautiful. And so when we can use those words, we don't lose heart, I think. I think this is part of the way we lift and carry each other in a world of sandcastle stomping to be ones who craft a more beautiful world. In my office, I have a little hanging foil folder that's called Encouragement. And when I receive notes from people or something, I witness something really beautiful, I'll write it down or I'll put notes in there. And there are many days when I need to spend some time reminding myself of some of those words, because words are encouraging. That's a gift you have. You hold that power to encourage someone to greater faith and greater deeds in Jesus. You're a powerful person. Okay? You can use that power to crush a sandcastle. You can build up the craft one. And so we want to encourage each other through words, and so that we don't lose heart. We also encourage one another through partnership in ministry, that we are the body of Christ. God is continuing his ministry through us. Paul says in the beginning of Romans, he says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. There's something about experiencing someone else's ministry, someone else's faith, that encourages you, that there's mutuality in knowing, or there's encouragement in our mutual pursuit of continuing the work of Jesus together. Like, you ever experienced this? Like, just through, like, you know, you see somebody, you see the selflessness, the compassion, the generosity of someone else, and it inspires that in yourself, right? That's like why Paul says, I think, you know, sometimes he says, follow my example as I follow Christ. Sometimes to see God at work in the life of someone else inspires that in yourself. And so recognizing that we're not just on this individual solo journey towards following God, it's a group together. When we recognize that we are serving the same God and having our, as Dan talked about last week, with the Holy Spirit's help, our compasses pointed in the same direction, there's great encouragement in that. By serving and growing together. Remember, we are one body with many parts. And we belong to each other. We have each other's back. And we continue the work of Jesus. We just don't do it alone. So we encourage through partnership and ministry. Another one that maybe doesn't feel encouraging, but is there, is encouragement through correction. Now, this one is a little harder, but it's interesting that many times the scriptures tell us to encourage one another. Right there in the same sentence is we're told to rebuke one another. It says, preach the word, Paul says to Timothy, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. That just like our fleshiness comes out and makes us become people that can be mean-spirited or discouraging, we're on a constant journey of being made new in the image of God. And we're all broken vessels, and we all get it wrong at times. And part of the ways that we get encouragement to live a better life is through that gentle correction. We need a lot of grace here to show each other a lot of grace. But also with that grace comes, like, helping each other refocus our eyes and have our feet pointed back toward Jesus. And so lovingly doing that with people. Now, if you're someone who sees this as your primary method of encouragement, correcting, You're not, okay? Like, this is not a thing that any of us should relish in or delight in, but it is part of what it means to grow in faith. And we could probably spend a whole week talking about what this means because it's complicated. But there is a way, and Jesus talks about this in Matthew 18, a way that we help each other recalibrate our lives and constantly be repenting and focused on becoming who God wants us to be. Sometimes we need a kick in the pants, don't we? And those are never fun. What we don't need is a kick in the teeth. Do you get what I'm saying? That there's been times I've had correction from people that's been welcomed, and it's been an uncomfortable kick in the pants. There's been other times where I just think people want to kick you in the teeth, you know, and tear you down. And I think the way of the Jesus follower is to lovingly correct each other so that we can be encouraged to be deeper, better versions of who God calls us to be. Remember, encouragement, Christian encouragement, is primarily about helping people and empowering people and encouraging people to, with the help of the Spirit, to live the life God is calling them to live. And so sometimes that happens through encouragement. And finally, this also happens through presence. Tyler, I think I lost it. Oh, no, I didn't. There it is. Through presence. Oftentimes in Paul's letters, many of Paul's letters has a little line in there. They say something like what it says here in 1 Thessalonians. He says, "We sent Timothy, who was our brother and co-worker in God's service of spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith." Where he says, like, "Hey, I'm sending so-and-so to show up." In fact, Paul had a friend named Barnabas. Do you guys remember what Barnabas' name means? The son of encouragement. That's a rad nickname. You know what? To be honest, I look at this room, some of you I could give that nickname to, because your very presence is an encouragement to me and to so many people and the way you live in the world. But even our very presence can be encouraging. Just being there in the same space. There's something about embodied grace that is encouraging, isn't there? Embodied presence. Like, have you ever experienced that? Just having somebody in the room with you that has been just a great gift of encouragement to you, especially when things are difficult or hard. You don't even need the words necessarily at that point. It's just the presence of someone who loves you and is journeying with you and is being an encouragement to you. We talked about peer pressure, you know, with the bungee jumping. Like, peer pressure, like, I mostly think of it as a bad thing. Like, peer pressure makes us do bad things because we want to be like our peers. There's something really positive about peer pressure also, because we end up becoming like the people that we're around. And so if we can build a community around having feet pointed toward Jesus and bearing with one another and loving each other, then there's great encouragement in becoming more and more like each other as we seek to be more like Jesus. You know, we're still feeling the remnants of COVID and this global pandemic, and just it was hard on the world. It was hard on people, and especially for us, I think, We live in a hyper-individualistic culture, as it is, you know, where we kind of keep our distance, and then we had to keep distance for a while, and like our loneliness exploded, and it comes out in all sorts of difficult ways, and there was a lot of it that was really hard, you know, and we're still feeling that. I think we would still be feeling lonely and isolated even if COVID was never a thing, but we need to learn how to live with each other, be present with each other. And like what we're doing right now, we're gathered for worship, you know. Like, for a while, there was like a few months, we didn't even do this during COVID. Like, we were online, like we were recording, live streaming, you know, and we were worshiping together from home. And I'm glad technology afforded us the chance to do that. The hard part is that did more of a thing where it made us feel like worship and church life together is about consuming a service, you know, singing some songs and listening to a sermon instead of actually being together as we journey toward Jesus. And so I'm grateful that we can live stream and that people can tune in when they're away. We're going to keep doing that. I don't want to like shame people that can't make it to worship. But there is something really powerful about us just being together and embodying worship and grace with each other. And that's why we do stuff like, we really hope you're part of worship with us weekly. And also want to encourage you to be a part of a group where you're locking arms with somebody, supporting each other, and journeying toward Jesus. Because connectedness is the way of the Christian. And we have to find ways to do that. I want to encourage you to start changing your vernacular on something. When someone asks you about where you go to church, don't say, "I go to Bear Creek Community Church." Say, I'm part of Bear Creek Community Church. Do you see the difference? Like, because we're not somewhere you just go to. I mean, we do have a building. We do have a worship service. We do go to church in a sense. Like, but beyond that, like, we are a community of people. And so, like, it's not just a program or, you know, a building. It is people. I am part of this community. You are part of this community. We're journeying toward Jesus together. That's who we are. Just like these brothers, you know, walking down the path. That's who we are. But we need to strengthen each other, don't we? We need to be like these guys walking down the road. And the thing is about encouragement, if I have $10 in my wallet and you say, can I have $5, and I give you $5, I only have $5 now, right? Which is okay. We should give sometimes where it costs us something. But it costs me almost nothing to give encouragement, right? Like, we have so much power and ability to offer encouragement. And so the thought for this morning is just like, what does it look like to be an agent of encouragement where you live? Especially encouragement that helps people live lives rooted in Jesus, that looks more like him as they seek to know him. I hope that when you look at your life, you can find moments of interactions with people that fill your bucket. People that you talk to that are like, oh, I'm so glad I talked to that person, or I had the interaction. I feel empowered and I feel filled up. You know, and there's so many people in our church that offer me that gift every week of being encouraging people. You probably, on the negative side, can think of people that you see their name come up on your phone or email box and you go, ugh. Or you kind of brace against a little bit. Be the type of person that lends encouragement to each other and to the world. Be conscious of that. You have a gift to give of enabling and encouraging someone else. Be that person. Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today. So it's every day, right? So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Sin and the brokenness of the world have a way of grinding us down, hardening our hearts, making us wounded and self-centered, and instead encouraging one another counteracts that. Life's in the world, it'll tear us down. And we have the gift of helping one another live within that. And so here's the thought for the drive home. It's pretty easy. Well, not easy to do, but it's pretty simple to lay out there. But how can my words, my actions, and my presence encourage those around me to journey toward Jesus? This is a gift every one of us can give to one another and to those we encounter every single day. To encourage one another. I need it. You need it. And it enables us, like Robbie prayed earlier, that it enables us to live out a calling where people can see God in broken vessels like us. As we encourage one another, have our feet pointed toward Jesus, and seek to be encouraged and empowered to live in ways that we couldn't do on our own. As we trust the Spirit, as we root ourselves in the Scripture, as we preach the gospel to ourselves. So, I know there's ways you can encourage people today. I hope you do it. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the incredible encouragement we receive from you, Lord, as the God who loves us, the God who has rescued us, the God who has pursued us, the God who has invited us to a life that really matters. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be the type of people that have received so much encouragement from you, that we would give that freely, Lord. In a sandcastle-stomping world, may we be people that hold out beauty and truth and compassion and love and mercy, that we would walk with one another and help one another have our feet pointed toward you. Lord, thank you for the invitation to life together, and you know that it's messy a lot of times. We hurt each other's feelings. We misunderstand each other. We disagree with one another. But in the midst of all that, Lord, may this be a house of encouragement, an encouragement that leads us to living for you and in you. So, God, thank you for my friends in this room, the brothers and sisters journeying down the road. May we live that out. May we receive encouragement from you every day, and may we be generous with our encouragement to one another. Thank you, God, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.